Lord, we love you. We really do. We love you. We want to love you. We want to walk in your love. We believe you lived and that you died and that you've conquered death by rising up from the grave. And we stand today in you. We stand together in Jesus Christ. You've brought us together. You've called this meeting. This is your deal. It's about you. It's from you. It's through you. It's to you. And we just ask that you would continue to be with us, Lord Jesus. We ask it in your name. Amen. I want to say I'm proud of you guys. So proud for continuing to have hungry hearts that pursue Jesus and his purposes. And I'm not just talking about some of you. I'm talking about you that think I'm not talking about you. I'm so proud of your heart's pursuit of the Lord Jesus. And I just have a sense that the Lord is turning your hearts in an even greater way toward him in this season, and you're responding to that. And be encouraged in the Lord, you know. For those of you who are new, I want to tell you something. For those of you who've been around, I want to remind you of something. This is all about Jesus. And we believe with all of our hearts in this community what the Bible teaches, that the desire of the human heart is for God. Like, as big as that is, it's for him, because we believe that only God can wake up our hearts to new life in him. So we're believing that new life only comes from him. So we're looking for joy in life, not in a new career or in a new hobby or in everything feeling like it's going well or in the finances flowing or anything like that. We're just totally trusting in him. And I was reminded last night, I had one of those magic moments with one of my kids. Jake had a really good day yesterday. And we were having one of those kind of window of the soul moments at bedtime, which parents just every night, like, listen to the Holy Spirit say, Lord, if tonight is an opportunity to really get into this kid's heart, let me step into that. You know, when you go back into their room to check on them about an hour after they went to bed and they're laying there wide awake, you know, that's when you say, you know, that's when you get in bed with them and snuggle them up and say, hey, you're having trouble sleeping. What do you want to talk about? You know, and just let them go. So, but Jake had a really good day yesterday. I just said, Jake, I said, you're going to have some days like this where everything just seems to go your way and people are grooving on you and you're grooving on you and, you know, all that stuff. But you're going to have some of the other days too. And my prayer for you as your dad is that you would find the satisfaction of your heart in the Lord Jesus, and that whether the day is good or bad, you would be satisfied in him. And we just talked about, what does that really mean? Because, like, that sounds real spiritual to you guys. To a 10-year-old, it's like, what are you saying? What does it mean to be satisfied in Jesus? And so we just talked about joy in the Lord and peace in him, and how sometimes people will turn to bad things to fill places in their heart that only Jesus can fill. And that's my prayer for us as a community, that we would increasingly get our needs met in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would increasingly believe, not just up here, but all in here, that there is life and joy and power and authority in him. I'll never forget the story of the Welsh revival under Evan Roberts. And Evan gets all the credit for starting that revival. Well, God started the revival. But the story usually begins with Evan. But the story really goes back to a 13-year-old girl who stood up in a church service and said, I just must say that I do love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. And when she said those words, the presence of God came with a flood, and a whole nation was changed. You guys, sometimes we say things, you know, and we don't even totally feel it, but we know it's true. Lord, I do love you with all my heart, you know. Would you just, before we get started, well, I guess we're already rolling, whatever that means, but would you just stand, and we won't say it together, but just would you just stand and just say with your lips, I do love the Lord Jesus. I do love you, Lord Jesus. Just speak it right out loud. Say it over and over if you want to. Say, I do love you, Lord Jesus. I love you. I must say that with all my heart, I love you. Just tell him. Let's just worship him with our words for a minute. Come on, you guys, speak it out. Just let words of praise roll off your lips. You're making public confession just of your desire to follow the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Lord, it must so bless your heart to see a community of people stand and just simply say that they love you and they want you. You are so faithful to your promises. So thank you for being with us today. In the name of Jesus, we do all this stuff. Amen. Well, we'll see how far we go this morning. Leaders, house church pastors, cluster leaders, ministry team leaders, we're doing some special leaders-only prayer and intercession for the summer before church. Today was the first day at 9 o'clock, and it was really rich. And so I just want to remind you guys of that, and I want to encourage you, leaders, to be a part of that. I think it's going to be an extraordinary summer. I'm not usually this weepy. Okay, yes, I am. But I'm extra weepy today. I just feel the presence of the Lord today. I think part of it is just the richness of that prayer time we had this morning. But Lindsay Block, this is one of those like words from the Lord that you just feel so like, Lord, I have to really say that publicly, but I feel like the Lord told me to tell you that he has strengthened you in your right hand, which is always a representative of the authority of the Lord, and that you are stepping into a new place of authority. You see yourself as very young in Jesus, but he is giving you authority, and he's kept your heart childlike. So expect to step into deeper authority and put yourself in a place. You know, authority comes, you know, not from some very mysterious thing, but the Lord tells us that authority comes from obedience to him and really walking in purity and in love for him and love for people and through just enduring, patiently enduring, staying faithful. And I know that that's what the Lord's put in your heart. So bless you, sister. And Lord, just give Lindsay more authority in your kingdom. You have strengthened her in her right hand, the right hand of authority, and we just thank you for her in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you guys are going to hear lots about Poppy, whether you want to or not. Poppy's my grandpa, and he's just one of my heroes, you know. I mean, just a neat, neat guy. He was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about a year ago, and we're watching that process, and it's just real sad and it's weird. And but I told you guys that Easter was our last Easter as a family in the house that has been my mom and Poppy's house forever. They just moved into an assisted living kind of a situation this week. So Memorial Day at the lake as a family, you know, just seemed, everything seems significant right now to me in my relationship with him. And it's hard to watch this deal, you guys, because this man is a fighter. He's just a warrior in the kingdom, you know, in his military service. I mean, this guy I know to be about as strong a guy as I've ever met in my whole life. And I want to tell you just a tiny story about him. Maybe it won't be tiny. I never know. But you guys, Hitler invades Poland in 1939. And World War II is often running. But as a country, we're coming out of the hardest economic times our nation has ever known. And we're pretty self-focused, and we're real slow to enter into the fight. And I don't know if we don't realize who Hitler really is, what his intentions are. I'm not a World War II buff. Perhaps there are some in here. But we kind of laid low, even as the war escalated throughout the nations. Then in December 1941, the Japanese tried to take out our entire Pacific fleet at Pearl Harbor. Yeah? And suddenly we realize we're in this thing, whether we want to be or not. How will we respond? How will we fight? In August of that same year, Poppy married my mom. They were both students at OU, and he joined the ROTC. He was commissioned in 1943 to the 514th Field Artillery Battalion. I just think those names are cool, you know, the 514th. But if you ask him, he'll just tell you he was in Patton's army, and that's about all you need to know about that. But in December 1944, as part of Patton's army, Poppy got to be a part of what now we call the Battle of the Bulge. There was a place in Belgium that no one expected Hitler to attack. We had lots of reinforcements to the north and to the south, but there was this one mountainous region, the Ardennes region of Belgium, where we just were weak. And so the enemy attacked there. And I'm sorry, I'm so emotional, you guys. I just see such spiritual parallel in all this stuff. It's the reason I'm telling you this story, and that's what I'm feeling. So these guys stood their ground. I mean, Hitler's deal was to cut off four armies. And this ragtag bunch said, we're going to stand right here, and we're going to hold off the thrust of the German army until reinforcements can arrive. And they did arrive. We defeated Hitler and his army at the Battle of the Bulge. And probably, as I understand history, it really dealt probably what was the beginning to the end for Hitler's resources. And here's the amazing thing, you guys. This generation, Poppy's generation, they rose up and they saved the world. They really did. There was a nut who was trying to take over the world and wipe out a whole race of people. And this young generation, they didn't have anything. They didn't know anything. They'd just come through the Depression. You talk about just falling off the turnip truck. Poppy was from Watson, Oklahoma, you know, and had moved to the farm, fleeing the effects of the Depression in Oklahoma City. And I'll tell you more of that story sometime. It's really cool. But this is the generation who rose up and they fought. Now, in 1956, Poppy meets Jesus Christ at a Billy Graham crusade. And a guy by the name of Charlie Riggs begins to teach him how to fight, how to spiritually fight. And so he taught him things like, here's how you spend time reading the Bible. Here's how you pray. Here's how you cover your family in prayer. You know, here's what you do with the Bible. Here's what you do with relationships. Be careful what you do with your money, because what you do with your money will be really indicative of where your heart is. So be really generous, you know. Now, you guys, that's what basic training looks like. Basic training takes place in being faithful in the little things. Let me hear some amen on that. Now, Poppy goes on, you guys, to give most of the best years of his life to train Billy Graham counselors all over the world. If there was a Billy Graham crusade in Sydney, Australia, or in Sao Paulo, Brazil, or in Albany, New York, you know, if you wanted to go be a counselor, one of the people that when Billy Graham says, you come, you come, you come, two words, you come. I love that. Stacy and I will sit there and watch those old Billy Graham crusades on TV just to watch him go, you come, you know. But a significant number of those counselors over the last about 30 years, he trained. Now, this guy was ordinary. But when the moment came for him to stand and to fight, he responded. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, gives this glorious picture of the church. And it is so wonderful that by the end of chapter 5, all of us are like, yes, we can do that. It's wonderful when we live together in harmony and we just love each other. And, you know, we're staying pure and we're walking in holiness. And yes, Paul, we can do this. And Paul says, wait a minute. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be fighters, because you guys are in a war. There will never be a truce. There will never be a ceasefire. It's raging right now, and you've been called to stand and fight, and you can do that. And I want to tell you guys this, and I'm thinking all this week as I'm praying and preparing for this. Oh, young people, the Lord has such a heart for you in this. Because this generation is going to stand up in the authority of Jesus Christ and ravage through the nations for his glory. And it really will be just like the army in Joel chapter 2 that brings the word of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. They march side by side, arm in arm, taking their orders directly from the king. They're nameless, they're faceless, they're fearless, they're courageous. They do what the Lord asks them to do. They do it together as one. They're not looking for credit for anyone except for the king. He's the only one that gets any credit. But when they are called to stand and fight and to go into all the world, they respond to the voice of the king. And young people, I want to tell you this. Your generation is not allured by money. You don't want to go and make all the new inventions that are going to change the way everyone lives. You're not enamored with career and power. But here's what you are enamored by: intimacy. You want intimacy in relationships so bad, and you'll do anything to get it. And there is one place where you get that. And it's in Christ Jesus. Now, young people, you must learn to stand and to fight in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. To find your intimacy in him and in nowhere else. And it's life and death. Let's read together Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. From the NIV, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, in other words, because of that, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here's the grand finale, and pray. In the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, Paul says, as if you didn't get the first time, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Who are the saints? Us. Each other. Okay, you ready? Here's how you fight. Here's how you fight. This is the way to fight. And you guys are all fighters. If you're in Jesus, you were made to be a warrior. And you've got everything you need because you got him. So here we go. Here's how you fight. This passage is at the end of, I think, the greatest explanation of how to do church of any book in the Bible, except for the book of Acts. And really, if you would read Acts and Ephesians next to each other, Ephesians is kind of like the owner's manual for the book of Acts. Like, Paul's like, did you watch what the church looked like in the book of Acts? How they were together and how they did church discipline and how they, you know, went after the lost and how they were compassionate. Like, well, here's how that works. Here's who God is. Here's who you are. And so here he says, here's how you're going to fight. And he says, finally, church. Now, the Lord loves you and you and you and you. This letter is to us. It's to the church. We're not very good at reading the Bible through the eyes of us because we've been told all of our lives that everything is about me, including everything in the Bible. This is a us letter that Paul's writing. He's saying, okay, Bridgeway Church, you guys, finally, be strong. Now, that is a powerful two words, be strong, because you know what that means? Don't be weak. Don't be weak. Be strong. Don't be weak. Strength is fighting. Weakness is ignoring. Weakness is surrendering. Weakness is retreating. Weakness is denying. Don't do that. That would be weak. Be strong, Paul says. Be strong. And you say, I don't feel strong. I've never felt strong. I've been abused. I've suffered loss. I've never been taught right. I'm not spiritual enough. My child is sick. My child is not following God. My marriage is a wreck. I haven't spoken to my best friend in years. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm single. I'm married. I'm old. I'm young. I don't know how to be strong. I'm not a fighter. I run from conflict. Good news for you, and this is my first point, for those of you keeping score at home. This is intense stuff. I got to break it up a little bit every once in a while. Number one, our strength, our power, and our armor belong to him. All this stuff is in him. Be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. It's all his deal. It's in him. It's his power. It's using his armor. And this is not like the armor that God gave, that Saul gave to David. Do you remember that? Saul said, here, you're going to need this for the fight. And it didn't fit. It was too heavy and it was awkward. And it was Saul trying to put his junk on David. This is not what this armor is like. This armor is crazy in that as soon as you get it on, it looks like it was custom made just for you. I mean, it comes in every size, style, flavor, you know, I mean, it looks punk, geek, hip-hop, you know, old, young, whatever. Whoever you are, that's what the armor looks like. But it does the same thing. This is made just for you and you and you and you and everyone in the body of Christ. It's his deal. In him is the phrase of the book of Ephesians. If you just go through the whole book, and you can do it. It's only six chapters. You could do it in one setting. You could just kind of run through it. I would really encourage you to do that, especially in this season. But the thing you'll see repeated over and over and over again, you'll be like, okay, Paul, I get it by now. It's in him. Verse 4, chapter 1, chosen in him to be holy. Verse 7, in him we're redeemed. Verse 11, in him we've been chosen for his glory. Verse 13, marked in him with a seal. Chapter 2, verse 21, we're being built up in him as a holy temple. Chapter 3, verse 12, we can approach God with confidence in him. Chapter 4, verse 21, we've been taught in him. The truth that is in him is all about him. It's all about him. We try to stand in us and we'll fall, we'll get slaughtered. This is in him. He's the initiator. It's his power. It's his armor. It's his authority. It's about his glory. And the people said, amen. So be strong in the Lord, in his power. Put on his armor. But before Paul says what it all means and how to do that, he tells us why it's such a big deal. And here's what he says. He says the armor's necessary because we're at war and we've got to stand. It's gotten personal. We can't hide. Like, Pearl Harbor has happened. The German army has, you know, attempted to break through the bulge in Belgium. And we have to stand and fight. We don't have a choice anymore. And I want to read to you chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's why. We got to see things as they really are, and we got to get into the fight. You know why we don't fight a lot of times? You guys, we just don't see. We don't see because we don't want to see. Paul's saying, see and stand and fight. Know what you're really up against, you know. It's not Amy and I duking it out, you know. It's Amy and I duking it out together against the spiritual forces, the principalities, the demons, Satan himself, this whole hierarchy of spiritual beings that are trying to take us out. Stand, 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 stand. Four times in the first four verses. Stand. Don't give ground. Okay, bow your heads. And just ask the Lord right now, what would it look like to give ground in your life? What would it look like to not stand? What would it look like for a church together to not stand? What would be the consequences of that? I mean, practically, what kinds of things would begin to happen if a church were to choose not to stand? If we're going to stand, God is calling us to quit whining about what we are not and begin to stand in who we are in Him. Because He gets the glory. It's His deal. And you look at, I don't know if they're all our favorite stories or just some of my favorite stories. But in many of our most beloved stories, there's this moment when the person who thinks that it just could never be them is called to stand. And they do. They choose to stand. And when they choose to stand, something kind of takes over. They step into who they really are. And they begin to fight. And they begin to win. And even though they get knocked back, they keep going and they persevere to the end of the story. And probably, for those of you who know the story, I've used this illustration 100 times. It's just so good. But in The Matrix, Neo is given a very clear choice. You can take this pill and just go back to not seeing. Pretend like this is not real. And you'll be oppressed by it all the time, you know, but you can put it on ignore. Or take this pill and see things as they really are. But just know if you do this, you're in the fight. You are in the fight. And you're going to see things that you never thought you would see. But you're going to endure. Peter in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Man, I can't fight. I can't fight. I can't stand and fight. That's not who I am. I don't know how to use this stuff. I never used a sword before in my life. I don't know anything about armor. And he stands and he leads the armies and he fights and he steps into who he really is. Little Frodo in Lord of the Rings, you know. Little guy just keeps going, you know, and by the end you're like, this guy's a warrior, man. He was called to this, you know. This is who he really is. Okay, my favorite one. No film clips. William Wallace. You know, you remember all the fight scenes in Braveheart, but do you remember the beginning of the movie where he's like, no, that's somebody else's fight. I'm not going to be a part of that. And it gets personal. And they go after his wife. And he says, now I'm in it, and I'm in it with a vengeance. Now I'm going to tell you guys something from the bottom of my heart. It is personal with me in this body. And I'm going after it. When the schemes of the evil one are revealed to the people in this body, we will stand and we will fight and we will go after it. And it doesn't matter what it costs us. It doesn't matter how much flesh or blood we lose in the process. We will stand and we will fight. And you know how much confidence I have in me in that? That much. But in him, we got some stuff, man. I'm going to show it to you in just a minute. Now, I'm not going to focus today on who the enemy is and what he does. Jeremy Kubitschek laid an awesome foundation that the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy our faith, hope, and love, and that we stand against him in the risen Christ and under his blood and in his authority. And a small commercial message. You can listen to Jeremy's message, which you should. It's just great truth from the scripture about who our enemy is. But it's on iTunes under Bridgeway Church. Did you know you're on iTunes under Bridgeway Church? You are, brother. Anyone can hear you. So I hope you spoke truth. But no, you guys can go and get that stuff there. And I encourage you to do that. Okay, but here is what Paul's saying. We're not fighting each other. We're not fighting Hollywood. We're not fighting Madison Avenue. We're not fighting the Democrats. We're not fighting George Bush. We are fighting a very well-organized, very powerful army of spiritual beings that have forces here on earth and in the heavenly realms, whatever that means, and that there is some hierarchy, and that there is power, that this is not a force to be trifled with. Yes, it's a defeated force, but it has not yet been destroyed, and they are going to go out kicking and screaming. And let me tell you, here's the intention of the forces of evil. They're much less interested in taking you out personally than they are taking us out as a church. Because you see, Jesus said there's only one way that my kingdom is going to ravage through the nations of the earth, and that's going to be because I'm going to gather together a family. So this is the story of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to gather a family together in and through my blood and in my authority, and I'm going to be the head of that family, and I'm going to give them my authority and my power and my gifts, and together, they are going to take the message, the good news of the peace and joy that are in my kingdom to every tribe, tongue, and nation. The only thing Jesus is doing on the earth today is building his church, period. And so the enemy's going after the church. Now he's going to come after you and me and everybody else to do that. But that's his scheme, is to go after the church. You guys agree with that? So how do we fight? We'll just see how far we go. But I really, the unction, to use an old Pentecostal, I think, word, is, for me, is on the belt of truth. And so I want to start there. And let me read to you guys, for those of you who don't have your Bibles. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Stand and put on the belt of truth. What does that mean? Man, I've been poring over commentaries this week, you guys, and no one totally agrees, but everyone agrees that there are several layers of meaning. And I'm going to give you the two most important ones, I believe, that Paul is talking about. First, it literally means what it says. Be a truth seeker. Be a person of truth. Be a person who walks in light and not in darkness. Pursue truth. This is the most basic way that you fight, is to be a person of truth. Now, every person in here considers themselves to be a person of truth. I'm not a liar. I don't tell lies, you know. I mean, I don't know anyone who considers themselves to be a big fat liar, you know. But I will tell you guys right now, this is a big battle for me personally, to walk in truth, to be a person of truth, to be a person who wants to see, who wants to walk in a light, who doesn't want to deny, who doesn't want to gloss over, who doesn't want to tolerate, but wants to walk in truth. A person who walks in the light and not in darkness is a person who wants to be known and doesn't want to hide anymore. Our sin put us into hiding. In Genesis chapter 2, the enemy's been trying to keep us in hiding ever since. Jesus came and flew open the gates so that we can come out of hiding and walk into the light, into his light. And everything in our flesh still wants to go into hiding at every turn. And a lot of times, hiding just means to deny. Satan operates in lies and in darkness. So when we walk in truth and light, we take away his ability to wage war. Probably the most important thing I've said up to this point. When we walk in truth and light, we take away all the ground that he has to stand on. Just don't give him any place to stand. We can do this. The lie is that I drink alcohol responsibly. I exercise my freedom in Christ. The truth is, I love to get a buzz. And more I'm getting full-on drunk. And I need to give up alcohol altogether. That's what's called owning your own reality. The lie is, I can appreciate so-and-so. I don't have a problem with him or her. The truth is, I can't stand so-and-so for the way that they push all my insecurity buttons. And I'm critical toward them every chance I get. And I need to go to them in love and say, I've held unforgiveness and bitterness toward you in my heart. And I love you, and right relationship with you is valuable to Jesus, so it's going to be valuable to me as hard as it is. I'm not going to pretend like everything's okay when everything's not okay. The lie is, I have my quiet time when I'm in the car driving to work. The truth is, I listen to the sports animal, and I haven't read the Bible in months. Nothing wrong with the sports animal. And the truth is, I need some accountability. Someone who will say, man, you've got to have truth in your life. What's that going to look like? Is it going to be in the mornings? Is it going to be at night? Are we going to do it together? Are we going to start a group just to hold each other accountable to spend time with Jesus? Because it's valuable to us to spend time with Jesus. And we're not going to lie to ourselves or anyone else about that area of our life anymore. The lie is, even though I sense that something is really bad wrong in my friend's life, I'm probably wrong. And it'd be weird to confront. The truth is, God's given you discernment and love, and you have a responsibility before him to confront in love. That's the kinds of things it means to own reality and to walk in truth. I want to read something from Ephesians chapter 5. Where Paul's talking, making the exact point that I'm trying to make about being people of truth. He says, imitate God as dearly loved children, verse 1. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us. And gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, don't be partners with them. Now listen to this. For you used to be in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's not who you are. You're different. You walk in the light now. So live as children of light. Be people of truth. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. Now let's have some truth. Here's the truth. I don't always like the light. Because to walk in the light just means lots of hard seeing stuff that's better to not see, or at least certainly more comfortable to not see. You don't ever have to confront. You know, you don't have to own your own stuff if you don't see it. You know. But here's the scary thing that someone brought out in our time of prayer this morning. You choose to not see for long enough, blindness sets in. And the judgment of the Lord is that we no longer see anymore the light. I'm just going to finish up on truth, but I want to stop right there. Let you take just take a minute. And my sense is the Lord spoke to you some real specific things, maybe some specific areas in your life, maybe someone that you need to go be a truth speaker to, a relationship where truth needs to begin to be spoken. Will you just take a minute and bow your heads and just say, Lord, I've heard you on that. Show me how to begin to walk in truth in that area. Everybody bow our heads just for a minute. Just say, Lord, is there anything for me in this? All right. The belt of truth means, man, decide in your heart and speak with your lips to the Lord and to anyone else who will listen. I want to be a person of truth. I want to be a person of truth. Greg, you tell me if you see in my life that I'm not walking in truth. You know, you have permission to do that. We just tell each other. We tell the Lord. But to put on truth is also you guys. To know, to learn, to love, to meditate on, to memorize all of God's truth. And the best place to find that is where? In U2 songs. Now listen, you guys. I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I'm telling you guys. Like, talk to me about the truth that's in Ephesians first. Then tell me about all the truth that's in U2 songs. And I like you too. But if we don't know Ephesians, then who cares what we think about the streets have no name? You know? Really? Now, I'm going to skip to verse 18, and I'm going to say one thing, and then I'm going to go back to my favorite part, and we're going to walk through it, and that's going to be the end of our time together. And that's my favorite thing to do, to walk through the book of Ephesians, because it's just so rich. But I want to say this real quick about verse 18. Paul, after he goes through all of the armor, we'll talk later in the summer, we'll talk about breastplates of righteousness and feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We'll do all that stuff. But Paul, at the very end, in verse 18, he says, now, pray. This is how you put this stuff on. This is how you walk in this. You pray. Because prayer is what humble people who desperately need God do. They do it by themselves. They do it together. They do it as big groups. They do it as little groups. They pray at all times, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And they keep on praying all the time for all the saints. They're nuts about prayer. Because prayer is what humble people who need God do. And if you say, well, I don't know how to pray, no one ever taught me how to do that. Okay, you can pray. Here's my favorite prayer lately, and I'm not trying to be cute. This is the primary thing I'm praying at this season in my life. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Just help me. And the Lord told me years ago how much he loves that prayer. That desperate, I need you. I need you so bad, I don't even know how to tell you I need you. Just help me. If you can say help me, you can pray the fire of heaven down to earth. Okay, back to truth. Now, Paul says, know the word of the Lord. Know the word. Learn to fight with it. Memorize it. Know it. And in the book of Ephesians, he's speaking primarily of all the truth he's just spent 5 chapters walking through. This is the stuff we have to know if we're going to be fighters. We've got to know this stuff that's in the book of Ephesians, and it's all there. And you guys, it's just so good because it starts with God. And then it goes into who we are in Jesus and how God's called us together in him to be a special kind of a family. And how it is that we walk that out. Our unity is going to look real diverse, but that's okay. God made it that way. Just keep Jesus as the head. That's the important thing. And he says, if you'll do that, then it's going to affect the way that you live with one another. And he goes through, and that's all the children of light stuff, right? And then in chapter 5, he starts to bring it home. He says, now guys, this is all about authority. If you're going to really walk this stuff out, submit one to another. Husbands and wives, parents and children, bosses and workers, submit to each other. Value authority in your life. Go to iTunes and listen to what Eddie said 2 weeks ago about authority. Really good truth that is so crucial in this day. But Paul says, know this stuff that's in this book. I just got to give you guys a taste. I mean, in the third verse, praise be to God, our Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I told Jake that one last night. I said, Jake, Paul says in Ephesians, you've been given everything in Jesus. It doesn't matter if you hit the ball in baseball. Doesn't matter if you bring home good grades. You've already been given everything in Jesus. Learn how to walk in that. And then he just goes on and it just gets better and better. Because you see, Satan doesn't want you to know who you really are, that you have any authority or power. Satan wants you to think, man, I'm just a schmuck. I don't have anything. Everybody else is a lot more spiritual than me. I need to do this or that or the other thing. Paul spends 2 chapters just saying, here's who you are, and it's so important for you to know this. You better know that you've been adopted as his sons and daughters. Do you have any idea how freeing that is to really believe it? And if you don't believe it, then say, Lord, I read that truth. You say you've adopted me as a son, as a daughter of the king. I don't feel like that. Help me understand what you mean when you say that I've been adopted as your son, your daughter. In him we've been given redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been bought. We're not slaves anymore. Our freedom has been purchased. I don't feel very free. Lord, teach me what it means that you've redeemed me, that you've purchased me. You've forgiven my sin. Man, I never have really felt that I needed to be forgiven. Lord, show me my sin. Show me what you've brought me out from. Show me how far I've come. Show me where I was without you. Let me feel the richness of your forgiveness. In him we've been chosen. We've been marked with him with a seal. You mean, God, that no one can ever take me away from you? Are you saying there's literally a stamp on my life called the Holy Spirit and that nothing's ever going to take me away from your presence, not in this life or in the life to come? Yep, that's exactly what that means. And how important is it to know that? I mean to know. Was it Mike Breen that said, know in your knower? Know in your knower. In here. And it just gets better and better. Oh my goodness. We've been made alive with Christ. We've been saved by grace. We didn't have to do anything to earn it. God raised us up with Christ and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You mean that I'm not just some defeated lowlife? I'm sitting next to Jesus in the heavenly realms, standing in all of his power and authority. When I speak stuff, when I pray stuff, it's as if Jesus himself was saying and praying those things. Is that what you're saying to me, Paul? Because if that's true, that changes everything, and I don't understand that, but I want to. Help me, Holy Spirit. Show me what this means. You were far away, and you've been brought near through the blood of Christ. He's our peace. You're members of a new household, a new family. This mystery that used to be hidden together about what God's doing has now been revealed, and now he's bringing us together as one family. And, oh, you guys, now, pray this. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. The people in this room, this community, are the ones that the rulers, the authorities, the principalities are going to be watching saying, we never could have imagined God would do it like that. He's brought together this family under his blood, and he's given them his power and authority. We got little Jesuses running around all over the earth telling of his grace and his glory and his might and his power. Ah! The whole heavens are watching us to see how we'll glorify the Lord Jesus. And the angels are going, yeah! And the demons and the devils are going, oh! It couldn't get any worse. These guys are rising up in the authority that they have in Jesus. Man, and we've all been given gifts that are necessary to the body, but they look real different, you know? So Jackie and I have different gifts, but like her gifts are so necessary to this body, I'd be a nut if I wasn't like, Lord, give us more of that Jackie flavor in this community. We got to have it, you know? And that's the kind of attitude that we're supposed to have toward each other. I promise I won't do every verse, but this stuff is just rich, man. Put off who you used to be, which is being corrupted, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Put on the new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Man, someone told me one time in teaching from this book, I got to quit. It's just so rich. I could go on and on. You know, that when I approach the Lord in prayer, when the Father looks down, he sees me wrapped in the purity of the Lord Jesus himself. He sees me clothed in the righteousness of the King who died and who rose again and who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, that right hand of authority. We have power. We have authority. Our identity's in him. We've already been given everything in him. We have everything we need to stand and fight. I'm going to tell you guys something, seriously. You see this little girl on the second row. Her name's Ashley. She is a warrior. She is. I'm not trying to praise Ashley. And, you know, Lord, don't let her get prideful because of this stuff. But part of why I can use her as an example, because her authority comes from her humility. She just prays a lot. She doesn't pretend to know anything. She prays. She loves people. You know, she is a giant warrioress in the kingdom, you know. And Ashley, to the extent that you, one, step into that, but two, hold it tenderly that it's his authority, you know. It's not yours. I mean, it's him through you. You continue to grow in the authority and the purity, and when suffering and persecution come, you will walk through that steadfastly. In fact, you'll bring others along with you. That's how this deal works in the kingdom. So, blessings to you, young people. Step into who you really are and quit being lied to and quit accepting all the false intimacy junk. Quit accepting the lies that you got to go lather up some intimacy. No, press into the intimate one. His name is Jesus. He has everything you need. But if you want to find him, you're going to find him through his people. You're going to find him through his people. We need each other, man. We really need each other. Okay, will you guys stand? Joel, come up. We'll do some ministry today just because I feel like we should. Even though it has, you know, it's about 10 after noon or whatever, but that's okay. Becky, are you feeling that you want to share? Does that feel right? Feels right to me. Keep talking. It'll happen.
Hello?
Wait. Hello? You know what that means? Eddie turned it off.
Eddie. you get blamed for everything, don't you? In the book of Genesis, God tells Abraham to get up and go to a new land that he's given him. And he said, I want you to get up and I want you to take you and your family. And so he gets his family together and they go to a new land. And what the Lord was speaking to me about was 12 years ago, the Lord spoke to some people and said, I'm going to give your family a new land. And so he made Bridgeway a family. And we've had this sister and brothers and mothers and fathers relationship going on for 12 years. But there came a time when God came to Abraham after they had taken some of the land and they had been this family that he said, it's time now for you to be an army. And so I feel like that's the word for Bridgeway right now. We've been a family, but there's times and seasons for everything under the sun. There's time for war and there's a time for peace. And this is a time for war. It's a time for us to become an army. And it's not that we're leaving as family. We're still a family, but we're going to be an army. And so as we're standing, I think it's appropriate that we're standing right now, because what Lance was saying, that God says for us to stand as an army, to stand, to stand, to stand, and to stand. And so I ask you right now just to commit to our commander-in-chief that you're willing to be the army. You're willing to do whatever he tells you to do, to be totally obedient to him, whatever he tells you to do. And just to say that in faith, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And to look around and to see that every part of us is such a crucial part of this army. And God's going to call each of us to do different things in that army. Some of us are going to be the spies that go in the land. Some of us are going to be the fighter pilots, the intercessors who go over and bomb. Some of us are going to be, you know, the infantry. And we just really encourage each other to take those roles, to be that, and to begin to ask God, what is my role? Where do you have me in this army? And I really felt like Lance has given us basic training. This is our first step of basic training today. And there'll be more. And I just felt like you were supposed to pray over us as the army.
Yep.
As our captain.
No, no, goodness.
Not the commander, but the commander.
I got you. I got you. Yeah, let me pray. And here's what I want to do, Peter. I want to turn down these spotlights in the middle, because you guys, sometimes I ask you guys to respond to the Lord by coming down here and getting with him. And it's not because of anything magic, but it's a step of faith to actually step out. And also, it's real encouraging to each other to see that the Lord is working among us. So I just know that the Lord wants to do some business with many of us today in this area of truth, in the area of standing in our identity in Christ, whatever it may be. We're not going to have a ministry team today. I feel like today is not a day to pray for each other, but just to do business with the Lord. And so don't wait. As soon as I finish praying, Joel will start to play music, and just come on down. Whenever you need to be dismissed, you just do that. But we're going to just keep the lights like they are, Peter, and really invite people to just come and do business with God now. Don't wait till tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Maybe you have never even met the Lord Jesus, and you just know, I have to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want that. Would you come this morning and just, you know, come into the mill and just say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I give you my life. All right? Would you guys bow with me? Lord, we love you. And we trust you as our commander-in-chief, and we say that we will stand with you in your power. And we come to you in humility, saying we feel oftentimes very weak and very powerless. Would you put the belt of truth around our waist as a community of people, that we would be a people of truth, and that we would walk in the truth of who you are and who we are in you. And so, Lord, would you give us the grace today to stand firm in the name of Jesus? We pray it in his name.